Noon, 4:30 and 87 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Samantha Morrill.
Well, I'm a Moorhead grad and I visited those places quite often when I was there, but it was never an academic experience.
State Senator Jimmy Higdon is talking about Lakeegee Rock and Clack Mountain. He's glad they're part of the learning experience during the Governor's Scholars Program at Moorhead State.
A man is dead following a shooting in Olive Hill Saturday.
And a flood protection project in Moorhead is finished.
In sports, the Reds are home for the Marlins tonight.
But Luke has the stocks.
Mostly cloudy with showers possible this evening. Lows will be in the 70s, and the complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Police in South Point, Ohio, have finally released the name of the man found shot to death in a Meadow Lane apartment last Thursday. He was 26-year-old Kendall Davis Jr. of Detroit, Michigan. Davis was discovered in the bed of an upstairs apartment with a gunshot wound to the head. Police continue their probe. They're still considering the case a homicide.
A weekend home invasion in Carter County left one person dead and three others in jail. Police say four people with firearms forcefully entered a home on Clark Road in Olive Hill just before 8:20 Saturday morning, taking an undisclosed amount of cash. During the incident, 48-year-old suspect Kevin Helton of Salt Lick was fatally shot and pronounced dead at the scene. A neighbor spoke with WSAZ. She says a growing drug problem in the area has made occurrences like this one more common.
Well, I live here with my younger child, and, you know, I'm just afraid that somebody will know that we're here and will, you know, try to get in on us. But I'm prepared if they do.
45-year-old Jonathan Gooden of Olive Hill and 41-year-old Cindy Puckett of Moorhead fled the scene on foot before being arrested. The final suspect, 28-year-old Brittany Crouch of Frenchburg, remained on the scene until police arrived. All three are charged with first-degree robbery. They're lodged in the Carter County Jail.
The Mount Sterling Advocate is reporting that a man who was once on the FBI's 10 most wanted list is a suspect in an alleged rape and kidnapping in Mount Sterling. Ronald Triplett was taken into custody near Detroit following his arrest last week. He'll be returned to Montgomery County to face charges. Mount Sterling police say the woman who was assaulted recently was able to give investigators a license plate number that was traced back to Triplett. He is said to have been arrested in Michigan without incident. Triplett allegedly escaped from prison in Michigan in the 1980s after he was jailed on charges of attempted murder and robbery.
Several people are without homes and jobs after a weekend fire in Winchester. Authorities say the fire broke out yesterday afternoon at 21 Bar on Broadway and quickly spread to apartments on the second floor. Brian Ambergy is an employee of the bar and lived above it. He told WKYT it's going to be a lot of work getting the popular veteran hangout back in shape.
It's tough. It's going to be a long road, you know, to put the place back together with all the water damage and the smoke damage and try to get it back on its feet. And that way the veterans got a place to come and meet in Winchester.
The cause of the fire has not yet been released and no injuries were reported.
A 44-year-old Mason County man has drowned in the Great Miami River in Hamilton County, Ohio. According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, Ronald Sprechter of Mays Lick drowned while fishing last Thursday with a friend. The victim reportedly got caught in a current and went under. Sprechter's body was recovered about 4 hours after his disappearance. Police say they do not suspect foul play.
Kentucky's prison workers are getting a pay raise starting tomorrow. Paul Miles reports.
Beginning August 16th, the new starting salary for a correctional officer will be $30,000. Current officers will get an additional $300 per month. The pay raises were included in the state budget, and they were much needed, according to Corrections Commissioner Rodney Ballard. He says the agency has been in a serious staffing crisis for over 2 years. I'm Paul Miles.
According to Principal Ray Ginter, the students at Rowan County Senior High School are excited about the improvements made to the facility over the past year. Crews wrapped up a $4.2 million improvement project there earlier this summer. Ginter says the over 1 year effort has had a positive impact on the 34-year-old high school's learning environment.
Last year, we had all the construction going on, and the test scores did not fail us. In fact, they went up. The kids were excited about every time a change was made. But this year, I think it's going to be a lot better because all of the safety equipment has been in place and all of our procedures for using that safety equipment. So they feel better about being in the building.
As Ginter notes, a new security entrance has been added to the building. Among other things, Rowan Senior High's technology has been upgraded, while its commons area, restrooms, locker areas, gymnasium, and its dressing rooms have also been remodeled.
The head of Kentucky's Governor's Scholars Program says it has had a positive but unintended consequence. Dr. Aristophanes Cedeno testified this afternoon before the General Assembly's Interim Joint Committee on Education. Since the initiative was launched in 1983, he says, 28,000 high school students have gone through it, and the vast majority of them stayed in the Commonwealth.
Many people say out there that the program was created to keep the best and brightest in Kentucky. That's actually not the mission of the program, but we are very proud that at least 80% of our population remains in Kentucky.
Cedeno says Morehead State, Northern Kentucky, and Murray State Universities hosted just over 1,000 Governor's Scholars this past summer.
State Senator Jimmy Higdon says the Governor's Scholars Program is providing well-rounded experiences for high school students across the Commonwealth. The Lebanon Republican says a teen who attended the GSP at Morehead State says a student from his district wrote to tell him about it.
I did get this year my most interesting letter that I've ever received. A young lady from my home county who attended Morehead campus and talked about one of the most exciting parts of her stay at Morehead this summer was visiting Lakiji Rock in Clark Mountain.
Higdon is a Morehead graduate. He jokes that he went to both places as a college student, but they were not academic experiences.
Governor Bevin has appointed a Pikeville attorney to the Morehead State University Board of Regents. Terry Walters is a 1982 graduate of the University of Kentucky's College of Law and was admitted to the Kentucky Bar the following year. She was born in Miami, Florida, and replaces Patrick Price. However, Price is not leaving the board. He's been appointed to fill the unexpired term of Kevin Pugh of Pikeville, who has resigned from the panel. Price's new term expires in 2019. Walters will serve through June of 2022. The governor also reappointed Craig Priest of Lovely to another term, which also expires in 2022.
And Governor Bevin has also named an Ashland man to the University of Kentucky's Board of Trustees. Michael Christian is a UK graduate and received his Doctor of Dental Medicine degree in 1980. Dr. Christian is a member of the Executive Board of the Kentucky Dental Association. He's been practicing in Ashland for more than 30 years. Christian will serve through June of 2022. He replaces Terry Mobley of Lexington, whose term expired.
The mayor of Ashland says companies that withheld the city's payroll tax from the checks of their employees and then didn't give the money to the city could well have committed criminal acts. Chuck Charles says if it was a lack of information or a misunderstanding, that's one thing. However, he says if they did so intentionally, they stole from their workers and broke the law.
I mean, they're taking from their employees because, you know, in the city of Ashland, the employee is the one responsible for paying those taxes, and they're putting them in a rough spot.
City Attorney John Vincent told commissioners last week about 100 businesses did not turn payroll tax revenues over to the city. He and the police department continue to investigate.
The Ashland water system continues to be hampered by breaks in its lines and temporary disruptions of service. Acting City Manager Sonny Martin says there were 32 ruptures in July alone. City Commissioner Kevin Gunderson says there have been more problems recently, but that should not surprise anyone.
You know, in seventh grade science, we learned the physics of expansion and contraction. If you'll note, most water breaks occur during extreme cold or extreme heat. And with aging water lines throughout the area, not just Ashland, but throughout the region, that's when the breaks happen.
Water main breaks over the past two winters at Ashland have cut off service to parts of town and reduced water pressure.
Ashland may name a street after one of its famous natives. MSPR's Kenzie Thompson reports.
Native and Olympian diver Megan Nyer may find her name on a street sign in Ashland. After finishing the 1984 Olympic trials in third place, Nyer went on to earn a spot in the International Swimming Hall of Fame in 1997. Throughout her training, Nyer regularly attended the YMCA in Ashland. City Fire Captain Keith Sammons came up with the idea to put Nyer's name on the street that she often took to get to the Y, changing it from Old 13th to Megan Nyer Way. The Ashland Board of City Commissioners have taken an interest in the idea and will move forward with the plan. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Kenzie Thompson.
Construction has started on a new cable barrier to prevent cross-lane collisions on Interstate 64 in Carter and Boyd counties. Motorists should watch for lane closures and slight traffic delays from mile markers 161 to 181. Alan Blair is with the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet.
This is a $3 million cable barrier project that starts now and will continue through November. The project is basically a safety measure project to install the cable barriers that will prevent crossover accidents from occurring along that section of I-64.
Contractors began work on that project today.
Crews are putting the final touches on a project to fix a major residential street that leads into Moorhead's downtown. They expect to finish a $300,000 effort to repair a section of a retaining wall that protects North Wilson Avenue from a creek that runs alongside it. Mayor Jim Tom Trent says the city was lucky in that it received some key financial assistance in paying for the initiative.
Very fortunate to get, I think it was Rural Road Aid, I think is what it's called, was where it came from. But Joe Parson worked very hard with that and worked with the state and made sure that we got that, which that was a pretty good lick when you can get two-thirds of it paid for and it wasn't budgeted for. Those are the type of breaks you like.
The project to repair the damaged retaining wall on North Wilson Avenue began back in the spring.
Flemingsburg has gone to the birds. MSPR's Ashley Chapman has that story.
The Ledger Independent reports that the city of Flemingsburg has been given federal permission to shoot black buzzards currently roosting in residential areas. Mayor Marty Voyers says the birds have found a home around Stockwell Avenue, and law enforcement officials have been given authority to remove them by force if necessary. He says the city will try fireworks, loud noises, and other forms of harassment in order to avoid killing the birds outright. Black buzzards are a protected species, but Voyer says the number of them in the Stockwell Avenue area poses a health hazard. For Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Ashley Chapman.
Political consultants James Carville and Mary Madeline say the fall presidential election has some unique characteristics. The married couple appeared Sunday on KET's 1-to-1 with Bill Goodman. Carville is a Democrat and Madeline a Republican. He says the GOP is entering the contest with dissension in its ranks, and that's rare for the party.
Particularly among Republicans, they tend to be, Mary used to say, and it was sort of so true, that Democrats fall in love, Republicans fall in line. Well, they're doing anything but falling in line now, which, I mean, this is a historic thing.
And that's because our party has abandoned some of the principles that drew a lot of us in the first place.
However, Madeline says Donald Trump's followers are very loyal and they'll turn out for him, regardless of what happens during the rest of the campaign.
And finally, this afternoon, UPS is taking a special shipment of drones and medical equipment from Louisville to Rwanda as part of a humanitarian mission to improve health care in the African nation. It's UPS's first ever flight to Rwanda and the initial deployment of Zipline drones. Eric Watson is a spokesman for Zipline.
This is our first shipment, and so some of the challenges that we'll face we're not quite sure about. And so we're just going into it really excited to get going, to deliver to our first customers. We have a few aircraft in here as well as the equipment we need to operate. And our mission that we're going for is delivering blood and other medical products to remote areas of Rwanda to help people in need.
Watson says using drones to deliver supplies will reduce travel times for those items.
For the rest of this evening, partly sunny skies with a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the evening. Then mostly cloudy with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms. Lows around 73 degrees. The chance of rain overnight is at 40%. On Tuesday, partly sunny with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Highs in the upper 80s. Chance of rain tomorrow is at 40%. It is currently 89 degrees in Ashland, 88 in Flemingsburg, 88 degrees in Inez and Winchester, 88 degrees in Lexington, and right here on the campus of Morehead State University, it is 87 degrees.
4:45, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It is good to have your company on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, a new report from the Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky details who is still uninsured in the Commonwealth. Greg Stottlemyre has more.
While Kentucky has gained headlines for having one of the nation's largest drops in uninsured residents, 300,000 Kentuckians still don't have health coverage. According to new survey results from the Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky, people of Latino heritage are four times more likely to be uninsured. That doesn't surprise Miranda Brown at the Maxwell Street Legal Clinic in Lexington. She says immigrants face a lot of different challenges.
Communication is one. They may not hear about it. If they are an immigrant, they may not understand if they qualify, if they have some kind of status, and they may be just afraid to apply.
Brown says even among documented workers, some are denied eligibility because of system errors, while others aren't eligible for coverage because they're on temporary work visas. The foundation says its goal is to help advocates improve their outreach programs. Brown says the state's Health Benefit Exchange Connect still needs more in-person helpers who speak Spanish.
I get calls from Western Kentucky all the way out in Paducah to help people sign up on Connect over the phone because there aren't people that they can go to locally.
She says language barriers, along with the nuances of immigration, often lead to misunderstandings and errors in enrolling people who are eligible.
So it has consequences for people. If they don't have an assister to help them through those glitches, it's tricky.
The survey also found adults between ages 19 and 25 are twice as likely to be uninsured. Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky President Susan Cepeda says young adults often don't think about coverage till they have a health problem or a costly accident.
That speaks to how important it is to have as many Kentuckians as possible covered by insurance so that the risk is spread across the broadest possible group.
Zepeda says most of the uninsured are working in low-income jobs, often without sick leave, which raises another question. Is the insurance process accessible to people working long hours? I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
It is 4:48. You are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock, and Sean has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the 24th annual Poppy Mountain Bluegrass Festival, September 9th through 17th at Poppy Mountain Campgrounds off US 60 East in Morehead. More than 40 bands featuring the Lonesome River Band, Dave Evans, Larry Cordell, Spiny Brothers, John Anderson, Russell Moore, and Third Time Out. Camping, ATV trails, daily and weekend passes available. Tickets at 606-784-2277 and online at poppymountainbluegrass.com.
Billy's back in town. Good afternoon. This is MSPR's Sports Report. I'm Sean Delaney. After two of three weekend games in Milwaukee, the Cincinnati Reds return home tonight at 7:30 to entertain Miami. First baseman Joey Votto is advising Reds fans to show up on time to see the team's most entertaining player, Billy Hamilton. Since the All-Star break, the speedy Hamilton has raised his batting average from .236 to .264, also scoring 21 runs and stealing 28 bases. Votto tells Fox Sports Ohio that Hamilton is only now starting to scratch the surface of his potential.
He's always had a ton of talent, and he's finally tapping into it on a consistent basis, and I hope that he doesn't set any sort of limits for himself. You know, he can be a really fantastic player.
The Reds won't have to worry about facing Marlins slugger Giancarlo Stanton. He's been placed on the team's disabled list because of a groin injury. There was one afternoon MLB game today. At last check, Boston played at Cleveland. The Red Sox edged by the Indians 3-2. The win went to 1-2 Drew Pomeranz. The Chicago Cubs have issued an apology after an employee played an inappropriate song. The Cubs say their DJ played a song advocating domestic violence after closer Aroldis Chapman finished pitching in the ninth inning last night. Chapman was previously suspended for 29 games this season following a domestic violence incident last October. Officials say the employee has been fired. Switching over to NFL headlines now, according to ESPN, Sheldon Rankings, the Saints' first overall pick, suffered a broken fibula at practice today. The 6'2", 305-pound defensive tackle was the number 12 pick overall. And the Dallas Cowboys have locked up center Travis Frederick to a long-term contract. The Cowboys signed the two-time Pro Bowl player to a six-year, $56 million extension that runs through 2023 after agreeing to terms just before the preseason opener at the Los Angeles Rams on Saturday. With an average of $9.1 million per season, this makes him the NFL's highest-paid center. After watching his team go through its first scrimmage on Friday, Morehead State football coach Rob Tenyer says he told his Eagles that he'd like to see a little more juice and enthusiasm from them. Tenure notes it's the earliest preseason scrimmage that he's ever had while at MSU. He notes such workouts are critical for the Eagles as they learn to play together as a group.
In all phases of the game, and really count on one another to fulfill your responsibility, you know, have gap integrity, be good on coverages, you know, protect the quarterback, all those things. And so this is the time you come together and you play as a unit. And I think that's what you try to get out of these days.
The football Eagles open the season on September 3rd at James Madison. Kentucky football coach Mark Stoops notes that he's generally pleased with how Wildcats performed during their first scrimmage over the weekend. Stoops says early on both his offense and defense did well, but one thing stood out to him.
Depth is you know, needs to continue to be an issue for us defensively, and we've got to get that experience. That's why it's so important to get out there and play the game and put them in that situation, because we are, you know, we have some guys that haven't played much in this system, and we need to continue to get out there and get as many game-like situations as we can.
Stoop says sophomore safety Darius West will miss the 2016 season because of a leg injury he suffered last Friday in practice. Looking ahead to Friday's season opener at Clay County, the Round County football team is doing some retooling after Saturday's 39-6 scrimmage loss to Russell in the EKC Gridorama. Coach Gene Peterson says the young Vikings have to get a lot better at their execution.
When you're out there for the first time as far as in a varsity situation, doesn't make any difference how many times it's over and over, all of a sudden you get kind of, you know, revert back to maybe some of the things that you used to do that weren't very good, but those are things that have to be corrected for us to be able to move forward.
After a solid first quarter, Peterson says the Vikings made some mistakes in falling to a talented Russell squad. The Vikings, though, didn't turn the ball over. The 2016 campaign starts for the Round County girls soccer team as the Lady Vikings travel to Bourbon County for a 7:30 contest. The Lady Vikings won last year's 16th region title, and new coach Alan Evans says is confident they'll be in the running for another championship this fall.
I think we're going to be contenders again. We always have Russell, Ashland, and East Carter there. And so I think it's really between us. In the last 5 years, I believe four different teams have won region. And so it's going to be very competitive, and so I expect us to compete. I don't think we're going to be ready early in the season. You know, it won't be till later on.
The Rowan boys kick off their season tomorrow evening with a visit to Bourbon County. And finally, this afternoon, the Morehead State soccer team had a tough go of it in losing to their exhibition match at Louisville 5-0 on Saturday. After giving up four goals in the first 30-minute half, Coach Warren Lipka says the Eagles played much better in the second half.
They put what happened behind them, and, you know, we looked and kind of changed it up a bit. We changed a little bit of positioning, and they responded well. They came out with more aggression and a little bit more competitiveness to match what they were doing. And, you know, I was really proud of them the way they did.
The Soccer Eagles open the regular season on Friday night at Illinois. For Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Sean Delaney.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Morehead State soccer and volleyball season tickets are now available. Soccer begins its season by hosting Evansville on September 2nd, and volleyball hosts Wright State on September 6th. Tickets from the Morehead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Okay, whenever you're ready.
Yeah, I'll be just a moment here.
Thank you.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay.
Good afternoon from the national offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks rose with the three indices posting simultaneous record closes for the second time in less than a week as investors digested rising oil prices. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 59.58 at 18,636.05. The S&P 500 was up 6.1 at 2190.15. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 29.12 at 5262.02. And again, record closing highs for all three indices. And breadth was almost 2-1 in favor of winning stocks over losing stocks.
Support from SPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Funded in part through a grant from the Kentucky Division of Waste Management, a second green recycling trailer will be rotating among Elliottville, Hayes Crossing, Farmers, and at the MMRC Fire Department on Kentucky 801 North. In addition, a green recycling trailer will always be located across from Walmart in the parking lot at the community park. The rotating trailer schedule is online at moorheadrecycling.org.
100 was up 6.1.
Okay, whenever.
Good afternoon from the national offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks rose today with the three major indices posting simultaneous record closes for the second time in less than a week as investors digested rising oil prices. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 59.58 at 18,636.05. The S&P 500 was up 6.1. at 2190.15, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 29.12 at 5262.02. And, of course, all three closing levels there, records for the major indices. And breadth was almost 2-1 in favor of winning stocks over losers on the New York Stock Exchange. Investors were watching oil prices as U.S. crude oil settled 2.81% higher at $45.74 a barrel in choppy trading. Also today, the Russian Energy Minister Alexander Novak bolstered hopes that oil-producing nations could take action to stabilize prices, telling a Saudi newspaper that his country was consulting with Saudi Arabia and other producers to achieve market stability. In data that was released today, the NAHB Housing Index, which showed home builder sentiment for the latest reporting period, rose 2 points, and the SPDR S&P Home Builders ETF itself rose about 1%, the strongest performer there being Toll Brothers, as Toll Brothers stock was up about 3%. On the earnings front, several firms, including Home Depot, Lowe's, and Cisco, are scheduled to report results this week. Overseas, European stocks traded mostly flat. Asian equities traded mixed as Japan's Nikkei 225 fell after its GDP data disappointed, while China's Shanghai Composite rose more than 2% on stimulus hopes. On the gold markets, gold futures for December delivery settled $4.30 higher to $1,347.50 an ounce. And among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were DuPont and Goldman Sachs. And your worst performers in the Dow were United Health Group and McDonald's. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Chesapeake Energy and Transocean. And your worst performers were Indo International and Salesforce.com. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated up $1.21 at $113.96. CSX down 5 cents at $28.01. AEP down $1.05 at $66.50. Marathon Petroleum down 15 cents at $41.20. AK Steel up 30 cents at $5.34. And Kroger was up 14 cents, finishing at $32.72. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
That is it for Mountain Edition News. Your weather for tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the evening, then mostly cloudy with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms later on. Lows around 73 degrees, and the chance of rain is at 40%. It is 87 degrees in Moorhead.
And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Chuck Mraz, Tanner Boyd, Ellen Barnett, Sean Delaney, Ashley Chapman, Jacob Lindberg, and Kenzie Thompson. From the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyer, and from the Kentucky News Network, Paul Miles. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator, W202 BHINES. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Samantha Morrill and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, MSPR News. ATC is next. It's 5 o'clock.